We're back on the record for the public comment portion of the public hearing in the application of Snake River Oil and Gas LLC for an order integrating unleased mineral interest owners in the spacing unit consisting of the southeast quarter of Section 15, the east one half of the southwest quarter of Section 15, and the northeast one quarter of Section 22, Township 8 North, Range 5 West, Payette County, Idaho. This is a proceeding before the Idaho Department of Lands. It's agency case number CC-2025-OGR-01-005, and it's Office of Administrative Hearings case number 25-320-OG-04. I am the assigned hearing officer for this application. I am an administrative law judge with the Office of Administrative Hearings in the state of Idaho. My name is Scott Zanzig. Earlier today, we conducted an evidentiary hearing. At that hearing, the applicant, Snake River Oil and Gas, some objectors who live in the unit that's being affected, and the Department of Lands all had an opportunity to present testimony under oath, as well as some documentary evidence. In addition, in these public hearings, we provide a process for members of the public to comment as well on these applications. There were a number of people. Some of you were here for the hearing itself and may have made some remarks. We allowed some public comment earlier, but because we wanted to have this set for folks in advance so they knew when to show up, we're starting this one at 5 o'clock as well. We have an hour that the City of Fruitland has been kind enough to allow us this evening to use their space. And so what we'd like to do is offer the opportunity for folks who have something that they want to say about this particular application to be able to speak their mind freely here in our hearing. You will not be asked to take an oath and testify under oath. You will not be subject to cross-examination by any lawyers. You're just free to speak your piece. What would really help me in doing this is to just find out how many of you would like an opportunity to speak tonight. If you would just give me a show of hands, that'll help me know how much time to allot for folks to speak. So I see about 5 or 6 hands. So I think everyone should have an adequate opportunity to speak. And I don't think I need to hold you to any particular time frame. If we start running close on time, we may have to hold people to just, you know, several minutes. But I think we have plenty of time for this. So what I'd like to do is ask folks, if you're going to speak, you're free to speak either from your seat or you can come up to the podium. Some people are more comfortable doing one or the other. You're free to do it either way you'd like. When you get up to speak, would you please let us know your name and whether you live in this unit that's being affected by this application? And that would really help us understand the context of your comments. And then you're free to just tell us what it is you'd like us to hear about this application. So, without further ado, if folks, again, if you'd like to speak, if you'd raise your hand, and maybe we'll start on this side of the room and just go this way. Yes, ma'am. Would you like to speak?
My name is Julie Fugate, and yes, I live in Section 15 here in Fruitland. I live in Section 15, less than 1/2 mile from the proposed drill site. I did not sign a lease. I am angry that because of lies and deception by Snake River Oil and Gas, I'm being forced pooled or integrated. I want to take a moment and defend my neighbors that signed an oil and gas lease. The oil and gas company only received their percentage of signed leases because the landman knocking on doors lied and deceived my neighbors that signed. They were told this was free money. All your neighbors are signing. We are doing this anyway. You will get $500 like your Barlow neighbors. Sue Bixby lives in the Barlow section where they punched 3 holes less than 1/4 mile from her front yard. I asked Ms. Bixby if I could share the money she received from the production of the 3 wells. She said, yes, I want folks to see how the oil and gas company misleads people. Please no, she did not sign an oil and gas lease that was integrated. I looked at her invoices over 55 months from May 2021 to the present. She received only one check for a $300 figure in February 2023. Only one check for a $200 figure, which was a month later, March 2023. Just 5 months later, her check dropped to $2.55. Keep in mind, this is with three wells producing. The land man does not share that the drill site will be in your front yard or your backyard, or any money received is very short term. He does not mention the extensive risk associated with being so close to a drill site. When Richard Brown, owner of Snake River Oil and Gas, was told in a public meeting the land man lied, Mr. Brown stated, "We contract with those guys and we are not responsible for anything they say." So who is responsible for what the land men say? Somebody needs to be. It is my understanding that Woodbring is anxiously awaiting royalty checks. They need to know the checks will only be a few dollars and it's not worth the risk to them, their employees, and their neighbors. This projected drill site impacts the entire community, especially the city of Fruitland. The Rivercrest subdivision has 58 homes. The Desert Rose Mobile Park has 128 homes. These homes are just a few feet from the projected drill site. I understand the county just voted in a 500-foot setback. I talked with Mildred Sheffield at Paya County this morning. She said the ordinance includes a waiver, and she went on to explain the waiver can void the 500-foot setback. In January 2024, I presented information to the Paya County commissioners. One article I shared stated, if one is living within 1/2 mile from a drill site, there are health issues. A second article was a proposal in New Mexico for schools and daycare centers to be 1 mile from any drilling activity. Why are we not learning from states that have been involved with oil and gas industry for decades? In summary, this money is not free money, and it's not even $500 a month. I am angry that because of lies and deception by Snake River Oil and Gas, I am now force-pulled, and I am a witness and a victim to all of this. This application needs to be rejected. Snake River Oil and Gas needs to secure a location away from homes, schools, churches, businesses, in order to avoid impacting citizens with drilling and flaring and other long-term risks. Oil and gas drilling needs to occur away from communities, period. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fugit.
Okay. And also for the articles that I referred to, can I show them with you?
Ma'am.
I'll just give them to you. And then also, this person came this morning, but she wasn't going to be here, so she asked me to move this to you. Is that okay if I give that to you?
It's okay if you give it to me.
Okay.
I will make sure that these documents get included in the record.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. All right. So who would like to go next?
You go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. So I'm Stuart Bright. I'm a resident of Payette County. Not in this particular integration area, but in another area where previously they had attempted to do integration, if you will. So, first of all, I'd like to echo Ms. Fugate's comments about the less than stellar behavior of the landmen and women who have been involved in this process over the years, where they do take liberties with the truth and have. When they came to our house and said that our neighbors had already signed agreements with them, that we knew that was a false statement. So, again, I'll just echo her comments about their less than upstanding behavior. Furthermore, this decision that we have for this proposal, will set a precedent for future integration decisions here in, well, I guess across Idaho, but in particular here in Payette County. So I have concerns about my property and my family's livelihood. So first of all, we heard a lot of discussion this morning about royalties, that one of my frustrations in this whole process has been the way the state has set up these rules. And so maybe the first 55% of the acres can be for more than 12.5% royalty. But once they hit that threshold, the remaining 45% are locked in because the oil and gas company has absolutely no incentive because of the state rules to do anything more than 12.5%. So I think that is unfair. I don't know the right words for it here, but I don't think it's a good situation, you know, the state is supposed to be looking out for the residents' best interests. I do not think they have our best fiduciary interests at heart there. Furthermore, those standards, that 12.5% was set several years ago when these rules first came out, but haven't been updated. And currently, throughout the U.S., you know, the royalty rates for oil and gas is like 16 to 20 to 25%. So we're sitting at 25 to 50% below what the rest of the nation is getting. So I think, again, we're not getting a fair economic return if this decision to drill here in Fruitland goes forward. And I think that is irresponsible, again, on the state's part to set us up for that kind of economic loss. And we heard discussion from Mr. Moore this morning about how expensive it is for this particular operation because of where it's situated, that I don't think we or the people in that integration area should be subsidizing Snake River's decision to drill a very expensive well. And I think, again, the people in that area need to deserve to have a fair economic return for their minerals. And beyond the economics, I am really hoping that you'll reject this proposal because of the location. So the area is the field, or the proposed area for the well itself is a field that sits on county land, but is surrounded immediately by the high-density residential areas that were already mentioned. Within the boundaries of the area is the largest park, Mesa Park, and then it's also an industrial area with wood grain right across the road. There are businesses on the west side, and one of the busiest, if not the busiest, intersection in the whole county. So there's a huge amount of traffic that goes right by this location. And I'm really, again, somewhat dismayed at how the state has set up these rules. And Snake River Oil and Gas has no incentive to go beyond the minimum requirements that the state has. But I would ask, if you decide to go forward with this decision, you know, it's right in a very significant area. You know, it's less than a half a mile to the river, which then drains immediately into the water treatment plant for Fruitland. So I really would hope or demand that there are additional requirements. You know, there's language in the state rules that it is recommended for the oil and gas companies to have a discussion with local emergency responders. I think that has to be a requirement, that they come up with a plan with the county, city, and relevant state agencies to have a response, because having grown up in Louisiana, Alabama, I know that oil gas wells are not immune from accidents happening. So I don't want to see that happen here. And beyond just requiring that they have those emergency response plans, there's also the issue about the minimal bonding requirements that the state has. It's like $10,000 basically for a well. And it's like, what are you going to do with a $10,000 bond when that well goes out of production? And how do you ensure that it doesn't become a future hazard and liability for the residents here? So those are some of my concerns. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I know I saw some other hands. Is there someone else who'd like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Shannon Crawford, and I do live in the integrated area. I did not sign a lease. My name is Shannon Crawford, and I reside in Fruitland and live less than 500 yards from the proposed project of the boring hydraulic fracturing or fracking. You can research the dangers to you, your family, and our town's health when exposed to natural gas drilling sites, the leaks, the pollution they cause, and the list of short-term and long-term effects is awful. My additional concerns are, as a small business owner, the noise and light pollution from the drilling location happening 24 hours a day at less than 500 yards away from my home and business will create disruption to myself, family, neighborhood, and my clients. Safety. Earlier today, Mr. Brown with Snake River Oil and Gas stated his company was bonded, but he could not give an amount. This creates greater concern if there was a catastrophic explosion, which could happen. Who would be responsible for recourse then? Traffic patterns, the busiest intersection in Fruitland at Highway 95 and Northwest 16th, accommodating over 7,000 automobiles and large trucks per day, is less than 500 yards from this proposed natural gas boring site. At this morning's hearing, witnesses provided no proposed solution for the traffic that will be impacted on Northwest 16th Street. And as a homeowner in Rivercrest that has one entrance and exit, if there is a natural gas emergency, this creates an additional hazard to my neighbors and myself. This project is within city limits on three sides. This project is proposed in the wrong location. A project like this does not belong in our city, right next to high-density neighborhoods and busy intersections. It is not good for our neighbors, our town, and our families. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, I saw your hand.
I'll just stay right here, but okay.
That's fine.
I'm an ex-school teacher, so I wander around a little bit. So,
could you share your name with us?
And I'm sorry, my name is Mel Person. I live at 2146 Northeast 16th Street, and we are not in Section 16, I believe is what it is. We are in another section, and we're going to go back a few years, and we were where some of you are now dealing with gas and oil. So I was curious. Like, I heard so many things when we were going through this process that some of you are going through now. So I decided I would call Richard Brown. I believe that's his name. No, it's Brown. Okay. And asked him if he would meet me at a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever. And he said, sure. So we met in Payette. And he brought his nephew with him. And I can't remember his name, but anyway, so we talked for a little while, and so I'm just here to get some information because I'm hearing all kinds of things, and I want to get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So we talked for a while, and then his nephew was in charge of drilling wells. So he started the conversation by saying, "Just so you know," and this is the quote, "Just so you know, the way we drill a well, there is a 0% chance that anything bad can happen." I said, wait a minute. I mean, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. So that can't be right. So Mr. Brown jumped in and said, well, no, that's not right. There is a minimal, chance something bad could happen. And so he went on and kind of explained it, but it told me that they'll tell you anything to get you on board. And they both knew that was a lie, but they, told it anyway. Nothing bad can happen. Well, we all know that's not true. So another thing that we've learned is that while they're drilling the well, there's an awful lot of noise. I mean, the wells that are on Barlow's property are quite a ways from us, but we had to sleep with the windows shut because that well drilling that was going on was very, very noisy. And so you better get used to that idea. And of course, at some point they're going to be done drilling a well, but then they have equipment down there. Not necessarily noisy, but the drilling process is very noisy. I was told today that they were talking about putting hay bales up around the derrick where they're going to drill to try to minimize the noise. Well, they better get a whole bunch of those hay bales or straw bales or whatever, because they're definitely going to need them. We were told all kinds of things about what kind of royalties, you know, what our share is going to be, what we're going to make. And we never did sign a lease. We were force pooled, so we didn't sign. But we do get gas and oil money. One time we got $500. Now, why we got that much, I don't know. It's been a year or two ago that happened. My wife, Terry, and I were just talking about what do you think the average would be? 20, 25, 30 maybe. The last check we got was for $5.60 or something like that. That's the last one we've seen. And so it's not worth it. I mean, it's just not. There are places suitable for gas and oil, and we do need that. We all know that. I mean, it drives a lot of our economy. But, man, we didn't think that where we lived was a good place, even though that well is clear down by the river. But that was some more kind of negatives, too. You know, you're getting close to water. A major river that runs right through here, where a lot of our water comes from. But we just, it's just not worth, the chance that something bad could happen. And if it does, who's going to pay for that? How does that work? And so a lot of people are being put at risk. And we just felt like we fought it, but we didn't win. And now you're just stuck with, you know, whatever happens. So anyway, like I said, there are places suitable for wells. But, man, that section's not it. It's just not. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
I'm John Sinequist, and I have some property that butts up to a corner of the
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we haven't signed a lease. And my opposition goes back really quite a long ways. And I'll just relate a couple of instances why I've been opposed to it for so long. Several years ago, when things were just getting started, with the drilling and the fracking around here, our oldest boy is a PA, and he went back to he had a workshop back to Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania, and he called me. He was back there. One of the people that he met, one of the guys that he met from Pennsylvania, told Kent that he said, and they were talking about the fracking here, but everyone that was getting started, and he said, tell your dad not to get involved in that. And then he said the reason was is because where his parents lived in Pennsylvania, they lived out of the city on some property, and I don't know if they were forced food or not, but anyway, they came on their property and did their drilling operation, and within a very short time, their water was contaminated. They experienced tremors and some health problems, and so they just had to leave. Their property was essentially worthless, and he said that was the place that he was going to have his forever home, on his parents' property. So, we've also experienced the fact that we were told, well, you know, we have enough signatures. And I always ask, well, why do you need mine? And I never got a good answer. And so then here just a few years ago, we've had a lot of people come and offer to get our mineral rights. But one young fellow came by and asked if he could come in and talk for a little while. He didn't say why. He had a clipboard with him. He pretty well knew what he was going to talk about. So I said, come on in, we'll talk about it. So when he started talking about the mineral rights, I said, well, I'll stop you because and then explain to him why we went on. We were opposed to that. And he told me, he said, well, I understand that. And he said, I can tell you this now because I'm quitting my job. And he told me, he was from Alabama or Arkansas, one of the two, I can't remember. But some people that were familiar with, or were friends of his family, they were integrated, and they were adamantly opposed to anybody coming on their property. And it got to the point where the sheriff had to come out and be there or take them while they were on their property. And he said, I've seen too many things that just weren't suitable for me. And he said, I'm putting my job and going back to school. And I said, I think that's a good choice. I wished him luck. And so just like we've heard comments tonight about, seems like there are instances where there's not a real close relationship with the truth. And, you know, I'm an old man and kind of from the old school, I guess. But when you make a deal or an agreement or a contract with somebody, it's in the spirit of trust, and there's a lot of integrity and honesty involved. And I think we see situations now a lot these days where that's really not the case. So that's why I'm opposed to it.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, sir.
So I gave testimony this morning on behalf of the city. Can I add a little bit to that?
Is
that
yes, you may.
Can I approach our map there?
You may.
Okay.
So I just wanted to point out, because I forgot to mention it this morning. So the proposed drill site is right here on the Marianne Miller Trust property. Our comprehensive plan has all of this up here zoned as single family residential. So as that property comes into the city, the plan has always been that it will be developed into single family residential subdivisions, much like the existing one here. And so I kind of concluded this morning's testimony with, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's just a horrible location for it. And I wanted to point that out, that with this being surrounded by more single family subdivisions, that kind of makes it even more clear that it's just not really an appropriate place. And I know this is just the hearing for the integration to force pool the uncommitted owners, not the actual drilling permit hearing. But, you know, if you look at a map of our city and you look at the geographic center of our city, which is basically Gateway Junction, we just think that planting a well right there is a very, very bad idea because of the proximity to existing residential areas with a lot of homes there, and what in the future will have several hundred more homes coming up. So just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you, sir. Just for our record, could you just state your name again?
Sure, Stuart Grimes. I'm the city administrator.
Thank you.
You bet. Is that what you were going to ask?
Okay,
sorry.
I see that our hand here. Yes.
I'm Shauna Pearson. I live in Fruitland City Limits. We're not, I think we're the next unit over. I guess how that goes. We did not sign the lease. We didn't go down that road. But I will tell you that the man that came to our house and tried to sell it to us, he was there continuously. And finally, I just quit answering the door. And they would tell you one thing, and then you come back the next week, and then he'd tell you something different. The quality of the person that was doing, I guess, the selling was not good. It was very unethical. You know, we're a really small community here, and I could see where a big gas company, oil company could come in and think that they're just going to run over Fruitland. And that's not right. It's not right that we, you know, we work hard here. We have families that have had businesses in their homes here for years. We shouldn't be just run over. If you look at that map and all the homes, brand new homes that have gone in around that, it's embarrassing to think that anybody of any quality from a gas or oil company could come in and say, oh, that's a good place. Mm-hmm. Oh, right next to Gateway Junction, all those cars and trucks, and how do you, Oh, that's a good place. It's not. It's not good at all.
It's not good at all.
And then for people to come into us, my husband, he's on the city council, and I have not gotten involved in this because I thought, surely this is going to go away. You know, because I was embarrassed what they were doing to us. And my husband would come home, he's like, you're not going to believe it. And our county court, they kind of sold out too. It's awful. It is just awful in this day and age, and all the damn land out there, that you can't find someplace better than in our impact area. Would you want a well 300 feet from your house? Do you have property? Maybe we could do something like that. We just move it. And I don't care if it goes out in the county away from our water source and away from all these people. There's property out there. That this is embarrassing. And I'm really glad I booted that guy out of my house because he just kept lying about stuff. Anytime you try to, oh yeah, all your neighbors have signed. No, they ain't not. None of them had signed. But I think they're like, oh, here, dumb white gal, she'll sign.
Yeah.
No. Let me see. I think there was one other thing I was disgusted with. You know what? A lot of it just goes back to integrity. Just integrity and the way that people choose not to use it anymore. Pretty uncommon, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I forgot to add, you know, I'm not opposed to that, but this location, like she said, Shauna said, it's just wrong. I mean, situation like that there with all the potential for problems, it makes no sense.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
Yes.
Could you identify yourself again, sir, just so that we have the record of who spoke? Yes.
John Sandquist.
Thank you, Mr. Sandquist. Yes, sir.
I've got a couple things I'd like to say. I'm Duke Fugate. I'm Julie's husband, and we live a few hundred yards from where that proposed site is going to be. And we have a very good well, and it's about 50 feet deep. And they've got a proposed drilling site that's going to poke a hole right through our water aquifer. And all of the chemicals and the poisonous materials that they pull out of the ground, if they happen to spill any of that in our water aquifer, and we have about 20 people down there that has their own private wells, we don't have city water. We have no way to get city water. And if they contaminate our water aquifer, it's contaminated for hundreds of years. It may never come back. So if our well's contaminated, we would have no choice other than probably just abandon our house and move, because or haul water in 5-gallon jugs or whatever to drink, because the some of the hazardous materials that they pull out of the ground down below is very, it'll kill you. I mean, just pure and simple. And I've drilled a lot of water wells in my past. I know what wells do. I know what can happen. And if they drill and some of that contamination happens to get around their pipe and get down in, because they have to go right through our water aquifer. I mean, they're going to poke a hole straight down through our, you know, our water aquifer is probably from 200 feet to the surface. It'll be 50 to 250 feet deep. They go right through the middle of that. And whenever they're doing that, they don't care what they're spilling, or they say they do, but then they'll say, well, we'll protect it with cement. But maybe they can make it work. Maybe they can't make it work. But I have seen water wells contaminated before, and once they're contaminated, they're done. The whole aquifer of the people that live in our area will have to do something totally different. Our well right now is very good, and we want to keep it that way. So if they don't have to drill there, they can drill 7, 8, 9 miles away and still come under the same place that they want to go. It's just cheaper. They want to do it cheap, and they'll go right through our water aquifer. But they could go 7, 8 miles over on a hillside out in the boondock somewhere and still come and still retrieve the same amount of natural gas that they hit the same pool and from way far away, from out of town. And so I would recommend them doing that. They can go drill a well right here and go 9 miles this way or 9 miles that way. And still, instead of drilling in the middle of town, go out of town and then come under. It's all about dollars to them. They don't care about my water. They care about dollars. And that's pure and simple. That's the way it is. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Right. We still have a little bit of time before 6 o'clock. Is there anyone else who wants to speak?
Yeah, I'm Shelley Brock. I'm the president of Citizens Allied for Integrity and Accountability, CAIA. I spoke this morning, but if you don't mind, I'd like to just add a few things based on what I've heard here tonight. First, Mr. Grimes, when he pointed that out on the map over there, that was really good because in other states, Colorado, namely a few years ago, houses have exploded because they built housing areas over the top of where pipelines, gathering pipelines had been put underground decades before and wells abandoned. And those things present a danger for forever. Like they aren't safe once you move out of there. And if that stuff is, you know, slated for development, eventually of housing developments, that's a real concern. Also this morning, I spoke about Richard Brown stating publicly that they can't directionally drill here. He said that the geology doesn't support it, even though, as a couple of us said, they've already done the exact same thing in the Fallon and the Barlow wells, which are in the exact same same geology. That was dishonest on his part. But I forgot to mention that the reason I brought up directional drilling is because it will allow them to exploit larger setbacks. They can drill from far away. I don't know if they can go as far as Duke just mentioned right now without, you know, it turning into something else, but they can certainly go. They've gone almost 2,000 feet, roughly 2,000 feet on other applications in the past, other wells that they've drilled. So that is definitely something they could do. And I don't know why he's, you know, said what he did. Also, someone mentioned fracking. I just want to say that even, and we asked this morning that they, you know, order that they not allow fracking on this well. One thing that I learned in 10 years of doing this on behalf of CAIA is that conventional drilling really presents all the same risks pretty much as fracking. And in fact, they have acidized wells here, did it illegally with no permits, got caught for it later. We publicized that. They have not followed the rules and the laws that were in place very well. And just like these emissions coming from their infrastructure that EPA had violated them on 8 years before and nothing had been done about it. To my knowledge, according to the website, there's still nothing has been done about it. We don't know. The transparency that Mr. Brown mentioned is maybe he thinks he's being transparent, but to those of us who've been dealing with this for a number of years, it's been dog and pony show. There hasn't been a lot of transparency. There hasn't been a lot of honesty on the part of the companies. Let's see. Just wanted to say a couple more things. And we are not opposed to oil and gas. If you look at the records, the people from this industry that like to claim that CAIA is just anti-oil and gas, we never protested the wells that have been drilled out in the Foothill region here. We didn't start making noise and talking to people and educating people about the risks until they moved right into town and right onto our rivers. They've drilled wells right in the floodplain of the river. They've done it around all these homes. They're trying to do it again in what is really the most outrageous application they've ever filed. We hope that you'll just, you know, say no on this application, but if not, at least give us the same, you know, give them the same orders that we got on a number of other applications in the past that provide some protections to the constitutional rights, the property values, the health of these families that are going to be living near this well. It's really critical. And I just have a if no one else has to speak right now, interrupt me if you do. This is an op-ed I wrote 3 years ago, and I won't go into the whole thing. But I just want to say that citizens are paying dearly for this out-of-state Arkansas-based company, corporation, and a few wealthy large landowners. Those are the ones that are going to benefit from this. None of these people living on these little quarter-acre lots are going to benefit. Including public officials with personal investments in the business. There are a number of those from the highest office all down in this state to benefit financially. What other industry would be allowed to operate here in fiscally conservative Idaho while draining taxpayers of millions of dollars? What's in it for us? And this has been over the years we've been working. We've seen multiple lawsuits by homeowners forced to allow drilling under their property, including two by our organization. And another class action suit by angry landowners who allege that they were being cheated out of their royalties a few years ago. And these landowners all willingly signed leases and then filed a class action suit. When Alta Mesa, who was Richard Brown's operating partner, went bankrupt, the suit dissolved. They never had any resolution on all the money that they probably lost. We know countless complaints of bullying by the land man have been filed by people over the years, and a number of you spoke about that tonight, and seismic crews, which caused a lot of problems in residential areas, conflicts of interest between the industry and regulators, illegal lobbying, which has happened, unpermitted drilling procedures, and pumping of toxic chemicals underground, including the acidizing of that well, as I mentioned. The officials, including one of your representatives here in Payette County, admitted publicly that they had allowed the industry to write their own laws and rules for years and that they regretted that. It's like the fox doesn't just guard the hen house, he's been allowed to build it. In my closing statement, corporate profits and government overreach should never supersede the sanctity of our constitutional freedoms, or the preservation of our property rights, our irreplaceable water resources, and a right to be safe and secure in our greatest lifetime investment, which is our homes. Idaho's future should never be for sale. Mr. Brown this morning spoke about how it cost him $3 million to drill a well and complete it. Well, how much money does he think all of us have invested in what is our biggest lifetime investment, our homes, our children, their schools? It's ludicrous for him to, you know, say what he did today and not also consider the other side of it. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who didn't get a chance to speak yet?
I am in a section where they drilled. And when they drilled, it said, oh, we'll drill. There'll be no waste on the ground. There'll be no problem. We'll haul off of the waste that comes out and won't be any problem. Now they want to drill a well to put all the waste back in the ground. And in the meantime, they say, well, we got these wells, we got all this gas coming up. What are we going to do with it? Can't put it in our hip pocket and take it down. So we've got to hook it on to some upstream pipeline, transportation pipeline. And how did they do it? They went down underneath the river, back out, back down underneath the river. And what happens if there's gas leak under that river? I work for a gas company. I know what it's like when you have a leak. And I never worked for one that ran under a damn river when there are residents all around that depend on the water source to maintain their life and their cattle and everything. Those are things that worry me. They're going to drill this well. They're going to transport it underneath subdivisions to get it out where they can go down underneath the river, back out, back down underneath the river. You know, they're not putting that in contents to these people when they're saying, oh, you're going to make all this money. Well, number one, they come to my door and said, yeah, you're going to make this and that. We said, we're not interested. Guess what? It doesn't matter. You don't own anything. You just pay taxes on everything. And I don't think that's right. Oh, I know it's a percentage. But no, the people get a voice. They should be respected. Like Shelley said, you worked your whole life for a home, for a future. What happens? Somebody comes along and they want to make money. They don't care what it's going to cost you. And I don't think we as homeowners or property owners, should have to sacrifice our life dreams to make somebody out of state very wealthy. And what I look at of my paperwork that I get from the gas company, and they produce $100,000, but it costs them $92,000 to do that. But we're going to divide that amongst the 540 acres. What is that, peanut? It costs them more to send me a check for their paper, their postage, their ink, and their time than I get. And I think that's something they should be up front with these people. They come to your door and say, oh, you're going to make all this money, we're going to make you rich. No, be honest with them. And that's what I have experienced with what's been going on. Is there hasn't been a lot of honesty.
Thank you, ma'am. Could you tell us your name, please?
My name is Sue Bixby. I live at 2133 Maple Court, Fruitland.
Thank you. So am I correct in understanding that you don't live in the area that is this unit that's being talked about?
But you live in the section adjoining it that they've already drilled in.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing that. We still have just a few minutes left. Is there anyone who didn't get a chance to speak who would like to say something before we conclude?
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Shauna Pearson. Sorry. I know one of the things that this wonderful company had sold even to the city council was, we'll never build in your city. We'll never. No, we'll be way out. And I remember the guy that came to my house kept saying, I said, well, what's going to keep you from putting a well right here behind my house? Oh, we don't go that close to residential. We have no reason. You got all this property out here. We'll go out there. We'll never go close to your house. I'll tell you what, those people right there are going to be screwed. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal.
Thank you. Did you have a little more that you wanted to add? No? Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for their time this evening and for their interest in this project and this application and being willing to share with us your thoughts that are very important. And they will all be part of the record of this case and they'll be considered. What I want to let you all know so that you understand what happens now in this process, if you weren't here earlier today when I explained this. What happens now is the parties who were presenting evidence today, the applicant, the objectors who live in the unit, who filed objections, and the Department of Lands, they all have an opportunity now to present to me their final closing arguments in writing and their proposed findings and conclusions that they would want me to put in a recommended order. And they'll be doing that by December 31st. Once those materials are filed, they will be posted on the live docket that's on the Oil and Gas Commission's website. So folks who are interested enough and want to go there and see that, you're welcome to go and look, and you'll be able to see everything that gets filed. Once that happens, the administrator of the commission is required to issue a final order within 30 days. My job, what I'm supposed to do, is consider all the evidence I heard, all the public comments I heard, provide a written recommended order to the administrator enough time in advance before that 30-day deadline so that the administrator can look at what I thought, is free to either adopt some or all the things I thought, reject them if they think it's not based on the record. So I will be providing that. And that also, when I provide that to the administrator and to all the parties, that also will get posted on that live docket. So if you want to follow what's going to be happening over the next 6 weeks or so, you are all welcome to visit that site and to see what the various parties are saying about this application, what I think about it once I get to decide my recommended order, and then finally what the administrator ultimately decides with the final order. So that information will all be available to the public, And I know that it's important to the Department of Lands that this process be transparent, so at least things are happening out where people can see what everyone is saying, and whether you agree or disagree with various positions, it's out there for you to see and to be involved. So thank you for taking the time to be involved, citizens. This is a very important part of the process. I really appreciate your participation. That will conclude our public comment, and that will conclude our public hearing for today. So we're off the formal record. Thanks again, everybody, for coming this evening. Really appreciate it. I know there were a lot of heartfelt comments, but it's really important.